services, and that's all it's condemning. It doesn't say that. There's no implication there, a hint at that. But you could prove that, just you can just make it up. But you can't just assume your proof. This reminds me, we have a radio program we've been doing where I live since about 1986. Call-in question-answer program. And the topic of women preachers in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 has come up on a number of occasions, and you'd be surprised. About three or four different people through the years have said, well, this is talking about women speaking up from the balcony. Now, it's humorous to me that the word balcony is brought up, because that's not anywhere in the text. And I wonder how they come up with that. And what's most interesting to me is that more than one person has called in over the course of those 15 years, about three or four, and said, this is talking about women speaking up from the balcony, and they got to be quiet if they're up in the balcony. You know, if you can just make stuff up, you can prove anything. Now, Tanya, if interrupting here were the only problem, then Paul would have just told the women to keep silent when someone else was speaking, like he did with the prophets in verses 29 through 31. He says, now basically, with the tongue speakers and the prophets, when another prophet is speaking, you hold your peace until he's through. That's what he did in verses 29 through 31, Tanya. But he didn't do that with the women. If the problem was there just interrupting, he could have just told the women to wait on one another and wait for one to finish speaking before they spoke. Instead of telling the women to wait until someone else has finished to speak, he told them to ask their husbands at home. In other words, wait till after the service is over, completely over. Not just wait till somebody else has finished speaking, but wait till after the service is over. Why did Paul single out the women, Tanya? You know, it's just as wrong for a man to interrupt another person, another man, as it is wrong for a woman. You know, if it was just a matter of interrupting or disrupting, he would have told everybody, don't interrupt or disrupt the services. Men and women. See, because men are not supposed to interrupt either. According to Tanya's position on this, the passage should have read, and you see here in all caps where I've changed the passage so that it would fit her position, let your women not interrupt in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to interrupt, for it is a shame for women to interrupt in the church. Now, if it said that, you'd have a point, Tanya. Tanya, instead of struggling to try to get around the plain meaning of this passage and changing it with these words, wouldn't it just be easier just to accept and obey what it says? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? Just think how easy it is for me in this debate. All I've got to do is get up here and read these passages and say, that means what it says. But you're having a much harder time. Your job is harder than mine. Your task is to get up here and try to explain why these passages don't mean what they say. I feel sorry for you. I appreciate you trying to do that. But I have a much easier job. Why not just accept what it means? That would be so much easier. Why not just accept what it says is what I should have said. And then she says, this is not talking about all women everywhere. Well, it is, Tanya. In 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, at first he says, let your women keep silence in the churches. So in the sense he says, your women, second person plural, he's talking about the Corinthian women. Okay? So one might could argue, well, he's not talking about every woman everywhere. He's just talking about the women in the Corinthian church. Well, I think that would be a bad way to approach that. But even if you did, verse 35 makes it general to more than just the Corinthian women. The reason that the women are not permitted to speak in the church, the reason that they must wait until after the service to ask their question, and he says it's because it's shameful women. He didn't say your women. He says it's a shameful women to speak in the church in general. The reason it was wrong, the reason the Corinthian women were told to keep silence in the church is because of the general rule, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. That was a general rule that would apply to any church then or any church today. Tanya asked me, how could 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 be true, my understanding of it, and yet you have women preachers? Again, let me define women preachers the way the Bible does, not necessarily the way society uses it today. In the sense that they are to teach the gospel, yes, we do have women preachers, but not public preaching. But how can you reconcile that? Well, Tanya, I've already explained that. Women are to teach the gospel. Acts 21, verse 9, Acts 2, 17, Titus chapter 2, Acts 18, where Priscilla helped teach Apollos. Acts 8, verse 4, the whole church went everywhere preaching, teaching, included women. But how do you reconcile that with 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35? Well, 1 Corinthians 14 doesn't tell them not to teach anywhere. It says don't do it in the church assembly. So obviously, the way to reconcile it is, if I told my little girl that she can play and she can ride a horse, she has a horse, she can ride her horse, but don't do it in the yard, that wouldn't be hard to reconcile. That means if I said, you may ride your horse, but then I said, don't ride your horse in the yard, Anybody here have any problem reconciling those two statements? They're not contradictory. That means that she can ride her horse outside the yard, in the pasture. You see that? And so Paul said the women are to teach. Titus 2, aged women teach the younger women. But they're not to teach in the church assembly. He said they're not to even speak there. Even if they were just to have a question, they're not to ask it publicly. And then she brought up Phoebe. Don't put that up. Let me see. I don't have a chart for this one that I want to put up right now. I just want to talk about Phoebe in Romans 16, verse 1. Phoebe is called a servant in the King James Version, Romans 16, verse 1. True enough, this same word can be translated deacon in other places. The word deacon just means servant. Deacon is could be talking about the official office, which must be a husband, 1 Timothy 3, not a woman. But since it's a general word to mean servant, it could be talking about any Christian. For example, Thayer defines this word, one who executes the commands of another, a servant, attendant, minister. Now, sometimes we use the word minister exclusively for preachers. That's not the way the Bible uses it. Minister means someone who ministers, someone who helps others, a servant. It's not a leadership role. Wigram Green defines this Greek word, translated servant, talking about Phoebe in Romans 16, 1, verse 1, a waiter or a servant. This is Strong's number 1249 for you preachers out there. The same word is found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. The same word that's translated servant, referring to Phoebe in Romans 16, 1, is also found in Matthew 22, verse 13. Let's read that. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now the king said to the servants, was he talking to preachers and pastors there? People who were leaders in the church? Is that what that word means? It seemed to me you were saying that word meant a leader in the church. Now she was a servant of the church. Every Christian ought to be a servant of the church, whether they're a preacher or a pastor, just a regular old lady. It doesn't do any of that. This word does not mean that, preacher or pastor. The king said to the servants, it's not preacher or pastor. John chapter 2, verse 9 is the same word in the Greek. That reads, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. So that's talking about preachers and pastors? No, that's talking about servants, people who help and wait on others. Not a leadership role, but a service role. That's the very opposite of what you should be getting at. A service role. Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Preachers and pastors? No, it's talking about the government there. A servant or minister is not a leadership position, but a serving position. Brethren, you know what servant means in Romans 16, verse 1? It means servant. That's exactly what it means. That's a good definition for it. Every Christian should be a servant. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. I'm spending a lot of time on this because Romans 16, verse 1 comes up a lot in this discussion, in other issues, other discussions. Matthew 20, verse 26 and 21, it says, for it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Same Greek word, servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And that's not talking about every Christian has to be a preacher or a pastor. That's saying every Christian needs to be a servant. That is, somebody who helps others. That's one of the basic ideas in being a Christian, is one who helps and serves others. That's exactly what Jesus did, and we need to follow in his footsteps in that regard. Matthew 23, verse 11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's not talking about preachers and pastors. That's talking about people, Christians, who help others. Like a lady who might bring a meal to somebody who's in the hospital who's sick. That's not a preacher or pastor, but that's somebody who's meaning a servant. That's probably, maybe Phoebe was doing that. The word would fit that. John chapter 12, verse 26. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Every Christian is to be a servant. And then she made the argument that in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, again, she's replying to my position again, my argument, so I think that's good. She said that that word speak means to murmur or whisper, not preaching. Doesn't refer to preaching. That's Strong's number 2980, by the way. So 2980, she says, that Greek word, Strong numbers it 2980, says refers to just murmuring or whispering. Doesn't refer to speaking out and preaching. Well, you know this same word is used in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Would that apply to preaching? Well, certainly it would. The word speak there is the same Greek word, Tanya. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, we also have that same Greek word. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Same Greek word. Is that just talking about murmuring and complaining or whispering? Is that what these men of God were doing when they were moved by the Holy Ghost? Just murmuring? Or were they preaching, teaching God's word? What about a passage like Acts 4, verse 1? Remember, her contention is the word just means murmur or whisper. And that's the only thing that 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 is forbidding. Well, the same word is in Acts 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. The apostles are teaching the word of God to the people. They're preaching the gospel. Acts 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may whisper thy word. With all boldness that they may murmur thy word. Is that what that's saying? No. He was praying that the disciples would preach the word with all boldness, not murmur or whisper. Same Greek word there translated speak in the King James Version, 2980. Acts 11, verse 19 is another one. There are countless examples of this. I just got this up while you were making that argument, these verses. I never really heard this argument before. Acts 11, 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, murmuring and whispering the word to none but unto the Jews only. It says preaching. Same Greek word, Tanya. Same Greek word. So I don't think that word in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 is limited to just murmuring and whispering. If it were, you might have a point, but it's not. You know what that word means? The word translated speak in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35? It means to speak. Speak. That's a good definition, a good synonym for it. Thayer defines the word, his fifth definition, to use words in order to declare one's mind and disclose one's thoughts, to speak. That's a simple definition. Put up number 26, Tim. And now Tanya brought up this idea of, really, that was just a cultural matter. That the reason that the women were not to teach over the men or to preach in the church services was because culture at that time made women second-class citizens. We've all heard that argument before. Tanya says that the restriction against women preachers was just a cultural matter. By this reasoning, you could pretty much just throw out the whole New Testament since all of it was written in the first century. But before there was ever any culture, God said in Genesis 3:16 that the husband should rule over the wife. But that was before culture even existed. That was from the very beginning. He said the husband was to rule over the wife. That's not because culture had adopted this thing that where the women were second-class citizens. That hadn't happened yet, if it ever happened. Husband was to rule over the wife. The law hadn't changed as we get to Jesus' day. In Ephesians 5, the husband is the head of the wife. Same thing. The culture had changed by that time, but the law of God had not changed. Husband still head of the wife. Tanya, the Bible was not meant to regulate or dictate cultural matters. And we need to understand that, brethren, that unless we can prove something is just cultural, unless we can prove it, then we shouldn't say that. We can't just say something was cultural just to get around what the Bible teaches. We must prove it. If we can prove it, we're okay. But we can't just say that. We have to prove it. The Bible, in general, was not meant to regulate or dictate cultural matters. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all the truth. Not etiquette. Guide the apostles into all the truth. That's what 1 Corinthians 14, 34 is talking about. Not etiquette. The Bible was not intended for just one period of time in history. Instead, it was written to apply throughout the rest of time. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. The Bible reason given for why a woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man is not temporary. There are no temporary reasons given in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Timothy 2. It's not because of current culture. That's not the reason Paul gives. Instead, it goes back to the beginning, the creation. 1 Timothy 2:13 says, the reason that the woman does not teach or usurp authority over the man is because Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's not cultural. That's been true from the very beginning. Since the facts of the creation haven't changed, neither has this regulation. If they have, I'd like to know why, how you would understand that. Only two verses after Paul wrote through inspiration, 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, that the women were not to speak in the church. He said that this is the commandment of the Lord. Now, does that like sound like Paul is saying this is just a cultural matter? The reason the women aren't to speak is because culture at that time dictated such? That doesn't sound like it to me. He didn't say that. Instead, he said, these things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, Tanya, 1 John 3:4 says, sin is transgression of the law. And the Bible says, sin separates us from God. Romans 6:23. And so it's very important if we violate this command in 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, a commandment of the Lord, we sin. The wages of sin is death. We certainly don't want spiritual death. And then Tanya said the whole chapter has to do with order. I agree. You have order about the prophets, the tongue speakers, and then the order given for the women is not to speak until after the service is over. Even if they have a question, they wait to ask that at home. So the order for the women is not to speak at all. In Romans 16:3-5, Tanya brought up about some more about Phoebe. And she said that the churches gave thanks. Was it for Phoebe? Yes, I believe that Paul is giving thanks for Priscilla and Aquila in verse 4. And so do also the churches of the Gentiles. Well, that doesn't say they spoke in the church, that Priscilla spoke in the church. For example, I know this lady who I'm friends with, that a church meets in her house, a small congregation meets in her house, and she does a lot of things for other Christians and people who aren't Christians. She never has preached in the church assembly, but the church meets in her house, and the churches, plural, give thanks for what she has done. But it doesn't mean she's ever preached in the church. It doesn't have anything to do with that. If a Christian lady is doing what she ought to do, people will give thanks for her work. But that means she'll be preaching in the church assembly. She ought not be doing that. And number one, how can I make it any clearer? Why not just accept what this verse says? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, as I said, that's what the Bible says about that. It is clear. It does not contradict verses that say that a woman can teach the gospel elsewhere. We've already pointed that out. It says she's not to teach it when she's in the church assembly, when the whole church is all together in one place, verse 23. And next chart, also 1 Timothy 2:11-12, anywhere she's not to teach or usurp authority over the man, that would apply anywhere. In other words, like, for example, you're having a Bible class. She's not to lead that class if the men are in the class. That would apply outside the church assembly, like in the Sunday school classes, or even at home. Wouldn't make any difference. But it also would forbid a woman preaching in the church. Because if the woman's preaching and there's men in the audience, she's teaching over the men. Next chart. So as I mentioned, Tanya would be contending today that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church, but God says it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Tanya will be contending today that don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted to them to speak. I will be contending for let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. I'm contending for exactly what the Bible says, word for word, and it means what it says. And no amount of finagling will get around what it says. Tanya is, bless her heart, I love her, but she's contending for exactly what the opposite of what the Bible says. And if you continue to do that and you don't repent, you're going to end up in exactly the opposite place that the roadmap tells us how to get to. Thank you very much.